And welcome back to the Weekend Primer. I'm very pleased to have on the phone Mike Michaud. As many of you know, Democrat Mike Michaud is the 2nd District Representative for the state of Maine, and Mike grew up in our neck of the woods in Medway. He graduated from Skank High School. In addition to graduating from there, worked at Great Northern, so he's had a chance to work in the area and see how Maine people live. Mike has also served in his role as representative since 2003 and is now running for governor of the state of Maine. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be on the show, Fred. Hope Paul's going well.
It is. You know, we've just got through the storm that hit Maine, not as nearly as bad as the rest of the state, so we're doing all right. So you are running for governor. What has prompted you to run for governor of the state of Maine?
Yep. Well, it was a tough decision for me to make, but I know that Maine has so much potential, but right now, what would be being held back by partisanship, divisiveness, and misguided policy under Governor LePage. And that's why I decided to come back and run for governor. Voters are tired of the direction that Governor LePage has taken the state, and they're ready for real change, new ideas, and strong leadership in Augusta. And that's something that with my experience serving on the Appropriation Committee, working in the evenly divided Senate, when I was president of the Maine Senate, I had the vision, I got the experience and the commitment to really move Maine forward. We have so much potential here, Fred, in Maine to really move Maine forward, just building upon our strength as a state. 95% of our businesses are small businesses. If we grew just at the national average, that's 31,000 jobs for Maine. You look at Roostook County, Maine has the youngest farmers in the country per capita. There's no reason why Maine cannot be the food basket for New England. So there is a lot of opportunities here in the state of Maine, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to give up my safe seat in Congress to come back and run for governor.
Well, let's talk about your message of change. You've lived in northern Maine. You see the difficult times that people are having up here. What's the answer to improving the economy in northern Maine?
I think it's several different things. It's not only going to be one specific answer that's going to solve the problem. As I mentioned, when you look at making Maine the food basket for New England, and you look at the land opportunities we have in Aroostook County, it's just phenomenal. There's a lot of stuff we can do as far as jobs, and it's not only those farming jobs, it's the processing of the food. The one of the stories I like telling quite often is the fact that what connects Van Buren, Maine to Portland? It's food. The Northern Girl facility up in Van Buren, Maine, they process the produce from the farmers up in that area, and they sell it to the Portland School Department. So there's a lot of opportunity there. When you look at the fact that one of my goals as governor is to reduce our dependency on home heating oil by 50% by the year 2030. It's an aggressive goal, but when you look at our offshore wind potential, our solar power, our tidal power, there's a lot of opportunities there as well. And if you think about it, Fred, I will be the first governor, candidate for governor, running from a rural part of the state since Governor Reed. If you look at Governor LePage, is from Waterville, Baldacci from Bangor, Brendan, Portland, Curtis, Portland, King, Brunswick, Longley, Lewiston. We really haven't had a governor that really understands the rural areas. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running for governor, is to really move Maine forward in a new path, a path that where each and every one of us has a fair shot and the opportunity to succeed, and small business can thrive and create new jobs. And part of that path is to make sure that we have a workforce that is well-educated, well-trained, and not buried under student loan debt. And I've done that a number of years, whether it's that facility in Houlton for higher ed, the one in East Millinocket, and a lot of the rural areas, is being able to build that infrastructure in the rural areas so those rural areas can really succeed and thrive. They don't want a handout. All we need is hand up and, a lift. And that's something that I'll definitely be focusing on as governor, is have an economic policy that affects all of Maine, because Northern Maine has a lot of opportunities, you know, that we can, you know, build upon. And you look at the mills, for instance, there's a lot of opportunity there. I actually was talking with an individual on my flight back from D.C. 3 weeks ago, and what he was telling me, a lot of his clients actually have businesses in India. The country of India is willing to invest in the United States. And the areas that they're really interested in is actually the paper industry as well as clean renewable energies. And there's no reason why those jobs can't be here in the state of Maine.
Sure. Now, you mentioned economic policy. One of the things that has happened over the recent years is an economic policy of balancing the state budget by shifting the costs of operating to the municipalities. We've seen a reduction in revenue sharing with towns across the state, and our municipalities are seeing less money from revenue sharing, both in Holton. We know they've seen it in Millinocket, East Millinocket, Medway. What is your feeling of the revenue sharing and the state's role in helping municipalities succeed?
You know, that's a partnership that's been there for years. And unfortunately, when you look at this administration, which is really shocking, knowing that the governor came from, you know, he's the manager of the city of Watermill, to eliminate municipal revenue sharing, shifted the cost and fund the liability for the retirement system back onto town. This is a partnership between the state and local levels, and we got to make sure that we maintain and enhance that type of partnership. What this governor did, and it gets back to his fiscal irresponsible policies, is every governor has to balance the budget. The Constitution requires you to do so. But what this governor did is he did huge tax cuts outside of the budget cycle. So when it came time to pay for them, that's when he eliminated municipal revenue sharing, shifted the cost, changed the business investment tax reimbursement program, the BETTER program, where you know, businesses who invested in millions of dollars in Maine, they did so under the way the tax policy was, and this governor changed it midway through. Stability in the state budget is crucial because that will also bring stability at the county government and local government, but also for businesses as well. And when you look at, you know, my goal as governor is to make, you know, Maine communities so that they can thrive, where more families can work their way into the middle class, where people have access to health care that they need when they need it. And you would get a good point when you talk about education. We need a path where every student can get quality public education in schools that are adequately funded, taught by teachers with the tools and the support they need to do what they do best, and that is to teach. My sister is a school teacher. I hear every day, every time I see her, about education policy, and we have to invest in education, and the part of that investment, you know, will be stable if we can have a governor who actually has a budget process that brings stability to that particular budgetary process. And that's where, you know, my experience comes in, you know, having served on the Appropriation Committee and President of the Maine Senate. You know, with an evenly divided Senate, you know, working across the aisle to get things done. It's not my way of the highway type of attitude that we see, you know, coming out of this governor.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Weekend Primer, and I'm on the phone with Democrat Mike Michaud, 2nd District Representative to Congress. And Mike, what would be your plan to stimulate the economy? I know we talked about the conditions here in Northern Maine, but how do you actually get that economy rolling for the state?
As I mentioned, to build upon our strength. And one of our strengths is small businesses. And if you look at some of the problems that small businesses have, they don't have the resources so they can hire a research and development department or marketing their facilities. As governor, I plan on establishing a Maine domestic trade center that will actually focus on finding out what's out there and actually connecting businesses to those markets. You know, under the federal law, the Buy America provision, the federal government, if they buy something, they have to look in buying it in America first. If they can't buy it in America, then they can buy it in China, wherever. What they're buying in China, there's no reason why that can't be made here in the state of Maine. Marketing, that's crucial. As a member of Congress, I was able to actually get some earmark money for funding for the Knowledge Transfer Alliance as part of the University of Maine system, where they actually took their economic class and students at the University of Maine and put them in businesses to really help business grow. And the program was so went so well, actually, they ran out of money. They needed some additional funding. Here's an opportunity where some of the businesses that actually utilized students at the University of Maine were able to quadruple the amount of revenue that they're able to bring in. And marketing is another area. Had an entrepreneur who had an idea that he wanted to sell tropical fish grown here in the state of Maine. And they were working at the university. They actually put a student on that project. And that actually has been a big boom for this individual. He actually had a move out Orono along the coast. I believe he's spending about $200,000 in salt.
So what would be the governor's role in an endeavor like that?
Well, the governor's role would be is to make sure, number one, that the university is focused. There's a lot of opportunity here is actually to utilize higher ed, the community college, University of Maine, all of higher ed, to actually focus on job retention and job creation. And they could, as governor, I definitely will be focusing with the university and higher ed facilities to make sure that they do that, because it's untapped resources we haven't really tapped into. Another example, actually, I ran into a business owner in Ellsworth, Maine, that his business, he needed a component that was aerospace at 91,000 certified, and he was actually looking outside of Maine to have them make that product for him. And I said, well, why outside of Maine? So I don't know anyone in Maine who is, aerospace 91,000 certified. So actually I called the University of Maine, said, do we have any businesses here in Maine? They're aerospace 91,000 certified. So yeah, there's plenty of them. We got a list. So actually I hooked this business up with that. So we have a lot of potential here in Maine. It's just knowing, where we can go to get that potential and really build upon that. You look at, allies. That's something that we export outside the state to China, and I believe China exports it to Japan, and Japan does what it has to do, then they sell it back to the United States. There's no reason why we can't add value here in Maine to be able to do that. So there is a lot of opportunity. We just got to tap into that. One of the focus I've been focused on as a member of Congress, looking at the potential, see what's happened at the federal level, how we can benefit here in the state of Maine, is under current federal law, the so-called Berry Amendment, that requires all soldiers to be clothed from head to toe with American-made clothing. They've been getting around complying with that law completely by giving it an allowance for the athletic footwear. Well, we have three New Balance facilities here in Maine that they can make sneakers that's 100% of the materials from the United States and sell it to the military. And that's something I've been pushing this administration to move forward on. Looks like we're making some progress. If New Balance was able to get that contract, that would mean 200 jobs here in the state of Maine. 200 jobs. Those are a lot of jobs here in the state of Maine. So there is a lot of opportunity here in Maine. Another good example, when you look at economic development, trying to think ahead and how we can move Maine forward. Right now, under the federal government's actually negotiating a European trade deal over in Europe. I expect that trade deal is going to pass because of their labor standards, environmental standards, are similar to the United States. Well, if you look at where Europe's located compared to the United States, and you look at shipping lanes, Maine is perfectly situated. Eastport is the deepest water port on the East Coast that doesn't have to be dredged. So there's a lot of opportunity. I've already actually met with the five of the ambassadors from Europe to talk about that trade deal and shipping lanes. And if look at it, they will go forward with that trade deal. I think now, as a state, we got to start focusing on, well, how can we make sure that shipping lane ends up here in the state and in Washington County? There's one problem is, how do you get stuff from Washington County, California? Rail. Rail's the way to go. We pretty much have a rail system from Searsport over where you can double stack those rail cars. The problem with Washington County is getting that connector in Washington County. And so if we can build that rail system out in Washington County, there's a lot of opportunities here, Fred, that we got to start thinking about and really moving, planning ahead so we can move Maine forward in that direction.
Last economic question for you is a lot of folks feel that focusing on manufacturing in the state is a failed policy. You grew up in a manufacturing environment. What's your feeling about manufacturing in the state of Maine?
Nope. Manufacturing, because I come out of the paper industry, yes, it has changed over the years, and we've lost a lot of jobs. I think there's definitely a lot of opportunities. I've talked to folks, businesses that actually has operations over in China, and they're looking at moving some of those operations back to the United States.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
And these are a lot of opportunities. Unfortunately, the United States and Maine, we don't have any broad policies dealing with manufacturing. If we're going to survive as a country, we have to make things. We cannot be a service sector economy. We have to make things, and there's no reason why we can't make products not only for here in the United States, but also for around the world. So I'm very excited about this race for governor because there is a lot of opportunities here. We just need a governor who is actually focused on the long-term vision for the state of Maine, a governor who actually has come from a rural part of the state that really understands rural Maine and what it takes to get the economy moving in rural areas. During my time in the Maine legislature, I was able to put money into the state budget for what they call Showcase Maine, where we had site selectors from around the country that would come to Maine to see what it's all about. And the interesting thing is the several trips that they've come to Maine, I've been on them, and so I want to talk to them directly, and they fill out a questionnaire at the end. And they are extremely impressed with what they see here in the state of Maine. The impression they originally have is that Maine is a vacation land. They really don't care about business. But once they're here, they see what we have here in the state of Maine, they're really impressed. And pretty much to the person, what they would say is that Maine does a lousy job in marketing itself. And so we have to do a better job. And the companies, the CEOs and site selectors that we brought up in Aroostook County were very impressed with what we have here in Maine. So there is definitely a lot of opportunity here in Maine to grow the economy throughout the state. You just need a governor who has a positive attitude about Maine, a governor who's willing to roll up sleeves and bring people in to work across the aisle, to work with businesses and CEOs, not only from Maine, but from around the country and world.
Sure. Now, I'm on the phone with Mike Michaud, congressman and governor, our gubernatorial candidate for the state of Maine. Mike, our current governor has spent a lot of effort in changing education in the state, moving the state to a proficiency-based education system. What's your take on proficiency-based education?
Yeah, well, one of the things that, I think education, first of all, is an investment. It's an investment in our future. And one of the first things I'll do as governor is I'll be eliminating the A through F grades that the governor established. It's demeaning, demoralizing, and really doesn't depict what's really happening out there in education. And I also will sit down and talk with the teachers, the superintendents, school board members to really get their input of what is best education policy, for the state. The state has a role to play, and unfortunately, they have not lived up to the 55% commitment that they're supposed to pay, for education costs. And I know it's not going to happen overnight because the budget has changed so dramatically, with a lot of unfunded tax cuts that were never paid for, and they've taken it out of the cost, well, actually the cost has been shifted onto municipalities. So
So no definitive opinion on proficiency base at this point?
No, that's something that I definitely would want to talk, with the teachers, with school board members, and principals and superintendents. One of the things, and it's one of my strengths I've always had, is the ability to be able to sit down with different groups and everyone to really move forward with a policy that that we can live with that state. And education policy is crucial, and I want to make sure that we get it right.
Right.
And one of the big issues as I go around the state is it is the funding issue. If you're a student living in Houlton, Maine, or in York, Maine, or Washington County, or Piscataquis County, you should be afforded the same ability to get a good quality education regardless of where you live.
Now, let's talk about your race for governor for a second. There's three major candidates running for governor, and many have said that Mike Michaud can't win as long as Elliot Cutler is in there, and there is the potential for a split vote going on, and Governor LePage will take the seat again in this election. What's your take on that?
This is primarily a two-way race. It's between Governor LePage and myself. And I've heard those comments, a concern about another split. This race is different than 2010. If you look at what happened in 2010, there were five candidates in that governor's race in that November. All five candidates were pretty much an unknown entity. And what happened was 3 weeks before the election, a poll came out that showed that the Democratic candidate was tanking. So there was a huge shift among independent and Democratic voters to the independent candidate because they did not want the Republican. That's why Elliot came so close last time around, not because they believed in him, thought he had good ideas. It's because they didn't want the Republican candidate, so that was a huge shift. This time around, there are four candidates, two independents, the governor and myself. One of the independents is going to run a campaign based on Facebook. So the other three candidates were pretty much his own entity.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot being the least known, but his name recognition is 85%. So we're pretty much a known entity. The other big difference this time around compared to last time around is the Democratic candidate last time around never had a base. I got a very strong base in the 2nd Congressional District, which is harder for a Democrat to win. So I start out with a very strong base. The other big difference is, yes, Republicans or Democratic candidates, we usually get similar endorsements. I received the teachers' endorsements, labor, environmental groups, but I'm also receiving endorsements that Democrats usually do not get. I've already received the Maine Firefighters, endorsement, Maine Association of Police, the Maine State Troopers Association endorsement, the Correctional Officers endorsement. So these are endorsements that Democrats usually don't get. People know me. They know that I'm committed to the state of Maine. I was born and raised in the Katahdin region, plan on retiring in the Katahdin region. And I'm a mill worker. I worked over 29 years at Great Northern Paper Company. I know what it's like to have to worry whether or not you're going to have your job tomorrow or the next week or a month from now. And, being on unemployment, being laid off, I've lived that. And that's something that I bring to this race that is unique, and being from a rural area. So I look forward to the race, and I've been up Houlton several times, and you look at as a member of the legislature, whether it was the Houlton Barracks, whether it was the higher ed facility in Houlton, and working on other issues, I've always been there and will always be there.
Sure, and I think you're coming back. Are you coming back this weekend to the county?
Oh, yes, I'll be actually flying up there for the Acadian Congress and the Michaud family reunion.
Oh, good.
In Madawaska. So I'll be back up in the county this weekend.
All right. Now, look, my last question for you is one that we're seeing an increasing amount of information through the news and One that I know that has been an issue that you've talked about before, but voters are really interested. Voters are increasingly frustrated that both you and Governor LePage are refusing to debate until October, waiting until October to start the debate process. Voters want to see how you perform under pressure, debate on the issues, get a real sense of who each of the candidates are. Why the disregard for the voters in this race?
No, I made it very clear. I'll debate with the gubernatorial candidates anytime and any place. The only stipulation I made was if I'm going to debate, I'm running for governor, and you know, my primary opponent is the governor, and that the governor has to be there.
So letting the governor set the debate schedule seems odd to a lot of folks.
Well, I'm not letting them set the debate schedule. I mean, organizations that have asked me, that have asked our campaign to meet me to debate, we said, yes, we will. But it doesn't do me any good to go into a debate when the, you know, my primary opponent is not there.
Yeah.
And I know that's the impression that the independent candidate wants to set out there, saying, well, we don't want to debate, and he wants to debate. If you look at what's happening in you know, politics, usually the one who's way at the bottom wants debates every week. And in this case, you know, the last poll, you know, I'm at 41, the governor's at 37, Elliott's at 13.
Yeah.
And it's the independent candidate to try to debate every week. Well, you know, I have no problem debating. But the only thing we want, since I am running for governor, the governor has to participate, you know, in these, debates, because this primarily is a two-person race. And, the independent candidate keeps saying, well, we're, you know, cowards, and, you know, and it gets back to name calling, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But Elliott was a Democrat. If he really wanted to debate me, and I mentioned this before the primary, he should have stayed as a Democrat. We could have had one-on-one debates in the primary. He chose not to do that. He chose to remain independent because he thinks, well, he knows he wouldn't be able to win in a Democratic primary. But as far as debates for the gubernatorial, we already have six debates that are already set up in October. And can't remember how many of those are televised, but four of the debates are with the Chamber of Commerce. So, No, we're willing to debate. The only criteria we set was, since I'm running for governor, the governor is, you know, the job is the one I want, and he has to, you know, be there for the debate.
Now, we have said before that we are interested in having a gubernatorial debate here in Aroostook County, and doing so here in Houlton. And so, based on what you said, that and we'd like to do one at the end of September. So, if I'm hearing you correctly, if Governor LePage is willing to join us, that you'd be willing to join us as well for that debate.
Yep, if it fits in my schedule, you know,
absolutely.
I still have a job in Congress too.
Yeah.
But both the governor and I, we have a job. Elliott doesn't have a job, so it's easy for him to call for a debate. Because he doesn't have to worry about his job, but we're still in session, if it fits in the schedule, and the governor's going to be there, then we definitely, should contact our, respective campaign.
Great. Well, you've been listening to the Weekend Primer. My guest has been Democrat Mike Michaud of the 2nd District, Congressman and gubernatorial candidate. Mike, best of luck with your campaign, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Well, thank you very much. It's always great to be on the show, and look forward to getting back up in the Houlton area once again in Aroostook County.
All right. Keep it tuned right here to WHOU 100.1 FM. We'll be back in just a minute.